invite the kids to go to the kids' table with Miss Kathy. And the rest of us are going to stay here and dig into this passage a little bit. This is another one of those stories where I read it and think, oh, I love this story. Luke is filled with them. And it's important to know that this story comes after a story that we've skipped over. And I'm going to make some reference to this. So back a little bit. So before Luke 19 comes Luke 18. And in Luke 18, there's a story of Jesus and a rich ruler, a rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And this is a guy who ends up going away really, really sad. And Jesus ends up making a very important point that we'll start with humanity, with humans, there's some things that are impossible. But nothing is impossible for God. See, Jesus made that statement after the disciples saw what just happened and saw this guy who was a really good person, but he was very, very wealthy. And they were amazed because normally wealthy people can do whatever they want. They can accomplish anything they put their mind to it. Or that they put their mind to. And they said, what did they say? They said, if it doesn't work for this guy, who then can be saved? And that's when Jesus says, with human beings, there are some things that are impossible. With God, all things are possible. So keep that in mind. That's just happened. And now we dig into Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Should we sing the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. The Lord he wanted to see. Then as the Savior walks that way, he looked up in the tree. As I said, Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. I tell you, nicely done. When you think about it, go back and thank your children's Sunday school teacher. Seriously, that is the Word of God hidden in your heart. If you have a hard time memorizing, find good Bible songs. I don't know that that was a good Bible song, but there's something about, you know, I'm guessing that some of you haven't thought about that song in decades. You know, okay. Maybe not decades, plural. For you, it might be less. Maybe Friday, we talked about it. So you know the story. It's really quite simple. I'll see if I can elucidate it a little bit. This, first of all, the name Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a Hebrew name, and it's interesting that his name means pure or innocent. At the beginning of the story, Zacchaeus was anything but innocent. Childlike in stature, childlike in faith and in some of his actions. But Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector. The word that's used here for chief tax collector is very, very rare in the Bible. It doesn't show up in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, never happens. It's very rare in other manuscripts of the time. But the best we can tell is this was the tax collector over a region of tax collectors. And the gospel goes on to tell us that he was very rich. So this wasn't just tax collector rich. This was very, very rich. Okay? He stood out for that. And again, it would be good to remember that tax collectors made their money by taking extra from the people. Not like our IRS who take just what the law allows. These people took extra. And that's how he became very rich. So he wasn't people's favorite. But Zacchaeus, pure, innocent, chief tax collector, very rich. He was trying to see Jesus. He heard that Jesus was going to be passing by. And so I don't know if the Secret Service for Jesus had scouted the route, and so Zacchaeus knew where he was going to be and saw the guys with the, you know, the... I don't know exactly how he knew exactly where he was going to be, but he got along the route and he climbed a tree because he was so short he couldn't see over people. And there are a couple things that you should know. Very much like today, it's not common that you would see a grown man climb a tree. In Eastern culture, very reserved, there are certain things that you don't do. You don't run, you don't climb trees when you're a man. Sorry, you just don't. If you're a grown-up, these are some of the things that you have to put away. But he was trying to see Jesus. The imperfect tense that's used here, so past tense, ongoing, it means a continual action in past time. God was already doing something in Zacchaeus. Augustine, so not in the Bible, afterwards. Augustine, one of the great saints of the church, makes the comment that no one can come to God unless God is already active in someone's heart. Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. We see Zacchaeus being drawn. We see Zacchaeus being curious because God's already at work in his heart. He wanted to see Jesus. And so he does everything in his power to just get a glimpse, even to climb a tree. Then Jesus sees him. Jesus makes eye contact. He picks him out of the tree. And he calls him by name. I find this really, really curious. I don't know if it's part of that time or that thing that Jesus has where he has special knowledge of people and of things. Like when Jesus called Philip. And Jesus says, Philip, I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree. Another fig tree. And it looks like Jesus didn't necessarily know Philip ahead of time, but somehow Jesus knew his name, knew where he was. This is another one of those times where it's not clear if they knew each other, but it's very possible that Levi, Matthew, was in the same region. And if this was Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector of the region, when Levi accepted Jesus, and threw a party at his house, I think Zacchaeus was there. I think Zacchaeus has been watching Jesus. I think Zacchaeus has been following the story, and he heard about the stories, and he heard about the life change that's happened in Levi. He says, I want some of that. And God has been working in his heart. And so Jesus makes eye contact with Zacchaeus, and he says, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Jesus invites himself over. The people were displeased, is how one translation puts it. The word that's used for displeased is grumbling. It comes from the same root word as the sound that bees make. It's kind of that buzzing, that murmuring sort of thing. It's the same word that's used when the Israelites, after they left Egypt, were wandering in the desert. They grumbled. It's that same word. So the people were not very happy. So you can imagine this, right? You're a good, honest, hardworking person living in the time of Jesus, doing what you need to do to be a good follower of God. You like Jesus, you like what he's doing, knowing he's a teacher of God. And Jesus says to the most hated person in town, can I stay at your place tonight? What? Jesus is going to hang out with that guy. Why him? And again, we pick up this other theme that Luke has throughout this gospel. that the people that Jesus goes to specifically are the people who are on the fringes, the people who are outcasts, the people who are ostracized from the rest of good society, from the rest of the good people, and Jesus seeks them out. Next thing happens is that Zacchaeus responds. He responds to Jesus, but then also it sounds like he's saying things to Jesus that he hopes everybody else hears. Not exactly sure. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor." Remember, Zacchaeus was very rich. He says to Jesus, "I will give half of my wealth to the poor." A sizable chunk. That's the first thing. But he's not done yet. If I have cheated people on their taxes, if I have stolen from anyone, I will give them back four times as much as I have taken. It sounds like this was still in public. It sounds like people still would have been able to hear. If I've taken for people, I will pay them back. Now, that if is a little bit misleading in English. The way it's written in Greek, it's written such that the reader knows, the hearer knows that it happened. There's sometimes where there's if of doubt. This is an if of certainty. If it happened, I'll take care of it. And incidentally, in the book of Leviticus, when someone stole from another person, especially by force, not just you picked up something that belonged to somebody else and you walked away with it, you stole it by force, the punishment was to give four times as much back. So Zacchaeus, whether he knew that that was actually the law and the proper restitution, he has decided, and he promises to Jesus that he's going to make things right. I want you to pause for a moment and look back and see, up until this point, what Jesus has said to the man to bring such conviction. "I'm coming to your house." "Come down and I'm coming to your house." That's it. No convincing, no arm twisting, no sermon, no altar call. But this is because God was already working in this man's heart. A new relationship with God was evidenced by this man, was shown by this man's changed attitude and his actions. You don't become a really rich man overnight in this day and age. This was years of taking from the people. And it's this one encounter with Jesus where he decides to make it right. He knows what he needs to do, and he commits to doing it. And Jesus says, "Salvation has come to this house today, this man's home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." So it's interesting that the phrase, "Salvation has come to this home, to this man's house," chances are he had wife, children, servants. At this point, they would have all converted. Zacchaeus, being head of the house, got to say where his family went to church, if they went to church. And it sounds like everybody at that point turns on a dime and begins following God. And then Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Luke 19:10. And I put that on the bottom of your sermon notes. A really good verse to memorize. It's the verse that I memorized this week. Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." There are several places where Jesus in the different Gospels talks about what he came to do. One is he came to reveal the Father. Another place, he came to die for sin. He came to give converted humans or an example to follow. But here, it's to seek and save the lost. Jesus makes the comment that this son of Abraham, this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. There were Jews who were harassing Jesus, and there are other places where Jesus talks about who their father is. And this time, it's used in a very positive way. This man, who at the beginning of the story wasn't living an Abraham-like life, Jesus says, this man shows himself by his actions to be a true son of Abraham. This is the sort of thing that Abraham would have done. This is what God really expects. And so go back to Luke 18, the part that we didn't read tonight, the story that we didn't talk about. There's a rich young man who came to Jesus. What must I do to be saved? He's even asking the question. I want to be good. How do I do it? Sell all you have, give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. And this guy refuses to do it. He goes away sad. Man, the disciples say, if this man can't be saved, then who can? Jesus says, with human beings, there are some things that are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. This man, Zacchaeus, had God working in his heart. We don't know for how long. All it takes is Jesus coming to town and this man making a decision to follow Jesus, doing exactly what he knows he needs to do. He gives to the poor. He sells a bunch of his stuff. Then he follows Jesus. Because the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. It's just like Luke 15, the parable of lost and found. There happens to be one who has wandered away, a descendant of Abraham. Jesus comes to Jericho to find him. Finds him up a tree. And with this encounter, Zacchaeus is radically different. In the way that you live your everyday life, do you think that there are things, do you act like there are things that are too big for God? Because we see two stories here between Luke 18 and Luke 19. One where it looks like there's something too big for God to do because the rich young man doesn't allow him to do it. And then that thing, you know, had there been one person in all of Jericho that you would have expected to be converted, it wasn't this guy. He had everything he needed, right? He was wealthy. He had the newest camel in the garage. He had the nicest clothes. He had all the nicest stuff. And it looked like on the outside, like everything was perfect. I'd love to hear your take on the story. And let's start with that first question about things being impossible for God. Do you live your life like things are actually impossible for God? Or do you really live like God could do anything? There's part of me that wonders if Zacchaeus was following Jesus or in the same area when he had the conversation with the rich young ruler. Because exactly the things that Jesus invited the rich young ruler to do, Zacchaeus did. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, come follow me and you will have eternal life. That's exactly what he does. Zacchaeus wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus. Are there people in your life who are curious about spiritual things? Are there people who are trying to catch a glimpse of Jesus through you? Or do you remember what it was like before you had decided to follow Jesus? What did your curiosity look like? God is at work in the people around you. A lot of the people who are already in your circles, I know, are already going to church. Not all of them. Don't assume that because they don't go to church that they aren't interested in Jesus, or that they aren't interested in God. Be listening well and looking for those times when it looks like they're starting to climb a tree. when they're curious, when they want to get a glimpse of Jesus. And whether you're a real outgoing person by nature or you're more reserved, be ready to listen. Be ready to invite yourself over to their house to talk and have a real conversation about who Jesus is. Because God still does this today. God attracts people. God is what these people, God is what we really need. And so, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God still works. So in closing, I bring us back to that comment from Luke 18. Jesus, if it's not going to work for this guy, who then can be saved? And Jesus says, there are some things that are impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know the depths of it. I may know some of it. God has what you need. God will be with you through it all. And that's also what we get to do as a community. So I invite you to struggle and to lean on God and to lean on each other. You're not alone. We're here for and with one another. And with God, all things are possible. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Zacchaeus and for his faith. And thank you, God, that you were working in his heart. We pray, God, that you would work in our heart in some of those areas that we feel are impossible. Those places where we've wanted to see change for years and we haven't seen it. By the power of your Holy Spirit at work, breakthrough. For those people that we love and know who aren't walking with you now, and for some of those who we feel like it's impossible, Lord God, be wooing them, drawing them to you, be working in their heart. And give us eyes to see those people who are curious, who want to know more about you, and then give us time in our schedule to interact with them, to sit down at the table with them, and listen and talk about our stories. About a good God who loves us and who knows us. And who seeks after and then saves those who are lost. Thank you, God, again for Luke and for this passage. And for the opportunity to study it and now live it throughout our week. In Jesus' name. Amen.